ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Hallelujah. We're in the month of joy, and I needed to do that to let you know that this thing that we're talking about is totally left to you. God has given you that spirit of joy, but you need to work it up sometimes. And in this atmosphere, I know Nigeria is tough. The world is tough, actually, and the world is going to be getting tougher. You need to work this thing up. Praise the Lord. And that was a sample of how you just work it up. You do that when you are alone in your room, nobody's there. Do that anywhere you are. You can, just walk that spirit of joy up. Praise the Lord. How many of us have experienced joy in this month of overflowing joy? Or it has made you become more aware that there's something that is called joy? Because I discovered that joy is something that we don't talk about much. We talk a lot about love. Yes. Because Jesus is love. God is love personified. But I discovered that joy is something that we don't really talk about it. Yes, we talk about happiness, and all of us know that there's a difference between joy and happiness. Who doesn't know that? Joy and happiness is not the same now. Abby? Okay. So, I hope we're walking in this light that we're receiving in this month of joy. Okay, so this morning, I'm just going to build on what has been said in the past three Sundays, and two Wednesdays, I think. Okay, so what is joy? I need to, like a recap. What is joy? It's just overflowing joy, because I don't know what to call it. Joy is joy. Abby, spirit of joy or something. Joy, sha. Joy is joy. So what's joy? Joy is a state of delight and well-being that results from knowing and serving God. So, on Wednesday, I'm going to round this up, for the month. I'm going to say some things, but what I discovered is that joy has levels. It has levels. There's that joy that comes when you get born again. I'm going to talk about that later. But see what this one says. The definition results from knowing and serving God. So if you know God, there's a level of joy. But if you are serving Him, there's a greater level of joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it has levels. And some of us, and that's why we find it difficult sometimes. So some of us are just in that elementary level of joy. The one that was given to us when we got born again. And we have not moved from that. We have not moved from that. Praise the Lord. And joy is the second fruit of the Spirit. I actually looked at it, Galatians 5:22. And you need to understand that the way this Bible was written, it was not written, there was no mistake. There was no mistake. So I want to believe that after love, because it starts with, can we say it? It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And that's what we all talk about, like I said. And then it says, it's joy. So I want to believe that after love comes joy. It's not a case of, anyhow. There's a way that it has been arranged. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, is joy. Now talks about peace. So joy is the second fruit of the Spirit. And it shows the hierarchy of the fruit of the Spirit, the way they arranged it. So it's the second fruit of the Spirit. So it's number two. Amen? When you win, you say there's a winner. There's a runner-up. And then there's a second runner-up. So joy is the first runner-up. I'm right, yeah. So joy is the first runner-up. Joy is an attribute of God. And let's look at Romans 14 and verse 17. And that's so key. Romans 14 and verse 17. It's so key that we know that. Joy is also an attribute of God. Romans 14 and 7 and verse 17. Do we have it? This is not working for me. Okay. It says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. Huh? It's not in food and drinks. All over now, you hear of drinks. I'm wondering, Seth, I don't understand. It's as if drinks just came. See, let's go and have drinks. As if drinks just came into being. We have had drinks all the while, but now it is, let's go and have drinks. Let's go for a drink. I don't get it. He says, it's not in eating and drinking. So when you come to church, don't expect to, you know, it's not physical eating and drinking. He says, but it is in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. It is in righteousness and peace and joy. So, the kingdom of God is characterized by what? Righteousness, peace, and joy. So, you see that if you don't have joy, you are missing out on something. You are missing out on something. Praise the Lord. I want us to look at Isaiah 62, verse 5, talking about joy being an attribute of God. Joy being an attribute of God. Isaiah 62 and verse 5. So joy originates from God, you know, like all of the fruit of the Spirit. But like I said, it's something that we don't talk about often. It says, for as a young man marries a virgin, who understands that? Who understands now? When you were getting married, how were you feeling? They could ride a horse in your tummy, like we say it. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. So God rejoices. I know you know that joy and rejoicing are the same. It's joy. And then it's not an English class, but there's joy. And then there's rejoicing. There's a verb. And there's a doing of. There's a noun. And then joy is a noun. And then there's the verb. Rejoicing. Praise the Lord. I haven't forgotten my English. Okay. Isaiah 65 and verse 19. Isaiah 65 and verse 19. This is God still talking. He says, I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. So God, you know, joy is in you. Rejoice is over you. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her. Nor the voice of crying. It says, I'll joy in my people. I will joy in my people. So joy is an attribute of God as well. And we do well to take note of that. It says, joy is the fruit of a right relationship with God. I talked about it first. There's a knowing and serving God. And joy is in levels. So if you are knowing God and not serving him, the joy is not full. Joy is not something that you create by your effort. That's why we say there's a difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is, you know, when things are happening, it's bubbling. How many of us remember that song, It Is Bubbling? Remember that song, It Is Bubbling? When it is bubbling, you're happy and all of that. Some of us know it, some of us don't know it. Anyway, it is bubbling. You know, when things are bubbling, it's happening, you're having drinks, you're having friends around, you went to work. Is happening. That's happened. You know, and that depends on what is happening around you. You know, but joy is something that comes from inside of you. Praise the Lord. Joy comes from inside. It's not something you can create. What we did this morning, what I made us do before I started talking, was just for us to work it up because it is there already. If it is not there, you can't work it up. If it is not there. So an unbeliever can't work joy up. No. As a believer, you can work it up because it is there. When you gave your life to Christ, one of the things that came was that joy. So you can work it up. But it's not something that you can create by your own effort. And like I said, it is in levels. So in the Christian life, the more you walk with God, the fuller your joy. Fuller. So it's in direct proportion with your walk with God. So if you are, you know, you are just, how do we call it now? You are just coasting along. Yes, that's the word. Coasting. the joy, that residual will be there, but then you may not be able to experience it in all of its fullness. Praise the Lord. Joy is a fruit of a spirit-led life. I already said that. Are you being led by the Spirit? Are you being led by... If you're led by the Spirit, you would have joy. It will come. You will know that it is there, you know. And we can rejoice because we are in the Lord. Sometimes there is really nothing to rejoice. As in, like I said, all of the things happening around. Sometimes you look at it and you're just like, what is going on here? But because we are in the Lord, we can rejoice. Hallelujah. Philippians 4 and verse 4. We're still going to come back to that as well, but I want us to read it. Philippians 4 and verse 4. Paul was saying, and for Paul to be saying, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. You know, Paul went through a lot. And even with all of the things that he went through, we're going to read some scriptures later, talking of the things that he went through. He's still saying, rejoice in the Lord. When? In the morning. In the afternoon. In the night. When things are good. When things are happening. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And he says, again. What does again mean? Emphasis. I am telling you, again, I will say, rejoice. Praise the Lord. So the reason why you can rejoice is because you are in Christ. Not because, like I said, not because everything has worked according to plan. This is November. 2018 is on its way out. We have written goals. And the goals have refused to set. And so some of us are downcast. But you can rejoice because you are in the Lord. Praise the Lord. And you know that God, who has brought you this far, don't discard your goals. We're not talking about goals today, but maybe sometimes, actually, those goals, are they God ordained? Just a question. Because we're going into the new year and some of us are setting goals already. You need to ask yourself, is that goal what God wants for you? Just a question, like I said, just dropping it, you know. So, there's a joy that comes with salvation. I said that. There's a joy that comes with salvation. When you get born again, there's a joy that comes with it. And, you know, in Psalm 51, when David offended, when he took somebody else's wife and they reprimanded him, was talking about, do not take the joy of my salvation away from me. How many of us remember that scripture? We used to sing that song, creating me a clean heart, oh God. I renew a right spirit within me. How many of us? Okay, there's still some old timers here. Okay, you know. So Psalm 51. Verse 7 to 8. It says, okay, let me read from verse 5. Like I was saying, when he offended and God sent, you know, Nathan to him to tell him what he had done. He says, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts you will make me to know wisdom. It says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Because God had dealt with him, you know. The first child had died. You know, it says, make me hear joy and gladness. Verse 12, it says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. So when you get saved, there's a joy that accompanies it. Praise the Lord. And uphold me by your generous spirit. So I'm going to be looking at a particular... Yes, we've talked about joy and all of that, but I'm going to be tilting it towards a particular aspect. James 1:2. And see this. It says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. How many of us count it joy when we fall into trials? Answer me. How many of us count it joy? Do we even remember that scripture? Oh, no, it doesn't exist in the Bible. Abi? It was just put there this morning. Hallelujah. Count it all joy. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. And then he goes on and on, you know, about that. But it's interesting to note that Paul talked about the same thing in Romans 5. Let's look at Romans 5. Please take note of the scriptures from verse 3. It says, and not only that, I started from verse 1 talking about faith in trouble, faith triumphs in trouble. It says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Can you imagine that? Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. And it says, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. But note verse 3 and says, not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. We glory. How many of us glory in tribulations? Ah, tribulations come. Everybody will, in fact, all of the world will know that tribulation has come. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 1. And you know, when you have scripture from different people saying the same thing, it should send a message across to us. 1 Peter 1. And that's where I'm going to be, of course, tilting this message to this morning. 1 Peter 1, 6 to 8. It says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. In this you greatly rejoice, even if you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. That's how we got that phrase that we talk about, joy inexpressible, full of glory. Praise the Lord. So three different people, James, Paul, and Peter, are talking about rejoicing when trouble comes. What happens most times now is that when trouble comes, we lose our joy. In fact, it doesn't take us time. We are just off like that. Praise the Lord. It also happens to me. Don't think I am above. You know, before you now, like, rein yourself back and say, come back, you know. We lose our joy in the face of trials or bumps in life. There are bound to be bumps. You know? So we should settle that. You know, sometimes I say, I'm not very good at planning, I'm trying. But you know, there's somehow you are planning and everything is just going smooth. In your mind, you should tell yourself, if this one does not go this way, what is going to happen? Praise the Lord. So we plan, and everything is smooth sailing, you know, everything is jolly and all of that. That song that we used to, no matter what, when trouble comes up, you know, we say, lie, trouble will not come my way. Lie, it's not happening. When success comes my way, I will, oh, okay, it's good. Success will come, but trouble will also come. It's not my gospel, that's what the word of God says. That's what the word of God says. James, I want us to look at it closely. James 1. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when. It didn't say if. It said when. So it's a case of preparing for it. When it will come. You just don't know when it will come. It will come. I am telling you this morning, it will come. Whoever told you that when you got born again, all your troubles are over, that person was lying to you. They are not over. When? It will come. It will come. When you face trials. So it is certain that we will face trials. Praise the Lord. But it says, count it all joy. You know, when trouble comes, we give up, we give in so easily, thereby playing into the hands of the enemy. It's cheap. We just give in like that to the enemy. Don't forget that Nehemiah 18 says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So when your joy departs, your strength has gone. When we lose our joy, we lose our strength. And we make it easy for the enemy to steal. He will just go on a rampage. Praise the Lord. He will just go on a rampage. Because we have given in to him so cheaply. He will just go on a rampage. And you know, John 10:10 talks about the enemy. Jesus was talking about the enemy. He says, he has come to steal. He has come to kill. Destroy. Let's look at it. John 10:10. John 10:10. The thief does not come. The thief is the enemy. Does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus now said something. He said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. But we forget that part. Quickly, we forget that part. So when the enemy comes, he has just put a foot in the door. You know how you do that thing when you want to enter someone's house. So the enemy has just put a foot in the door. Instead of you to struggle to make sure that he goes out, you just relax. He just comes in and just sweeps, you know, over. Because when you lose your joy, you lose your strength. When you lose your joy, you can't see clearly. Pastor Binga preached a wonderful message on Wednesday. You can, you know, listen to it on the podcast. When you lose your joy, you are just cheap meat for the enemy. He just runs you over completely. He just runs you over. Because you are not thinking clearly, you can't see clearly, confusion just comes once you lose your joy. Praise the Lord. So when we face trials, what should our attitude be? What should our attitude be? We are going to face trials. And you know, let's say that in the past 2 months or 3 months, I have been listening to some messages. And you know, and I'm going to drop this in here. You know, when we don't talk about heaven. We don't talk about Jesus is coming back. It's not popular gospel. Popular gospel is you will. But how do they call that gospel? You will make it. You will make it. I saw one advert somewhere, something about vomit my dollars or something. I'm thinking, really? Yes. It was a program. Vomit my dollars. And that's supposed to be, you know, but we're not talking about that. So, we do not talk again about Jesus coming back. We're just content to, I don't know, maybe in our minds, we just think this is all there is to it. And this is all there is to Christianity. That this is all there is to life. Either you are born again or you are not born again. There's a life after death. So that one is settled. But even as believers, now I'm talking, we do not think about Jesus coming back, long. They have been saying he's coming since 2,000 years ago. He has not come. So why is it that it is my own time that he will come? But let me tell you, whether he comes in your lifetime or not, he is coming. Because once you die, you meet him. He's coming. So we have not been talking about Jesus is coming. And you know, in the past 2 months, and you know, we have been thinking, when you read all of those, please go and read them all. Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, when Jesus was talking about the end times, go back home and read them. We thought, at least when I was growing up as a believer, in my thinking was like, rapture, when rapture comes, it's like, rapture will first of all happen. Then tribulation will come. Abi? That's what, that's the thinking that we had. But that's not true. There will be tribulation first before rapture comes. Go back home and study your Bible. There will be serious tribulation. In fact, in that, let's look at it. I don't say, where is this woman going again? But you need to know. Hallelujah. In fact, Matthew 24, let me see which verse he was talking about. For the sake of the elect, if the days were not shortened, the elect therefore will not be able to bear it. Who are the elect? You and I. The elect will not be able to bear it. Let's see what it says. Matthew 24. And Jesus was talking to them, talking to his disciples about the end time. If anybody finds that particular verse, just let me just tell us. Yes, from verse 20, 21. He says, for then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. 22 says, and unless those days were shortened, no flesh will be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. So they will happen. The only thing is that for the elect's sake, for you, for the sake of you and I, it will be shortened. So there will be tribulation before rapture. So, how come we are behaving as if the Christian walk is supposed to be a jolly ride, make you happy all the time? There is going to be tribulation. Maybe not in your own time. It's growing. It's going to be increasing. As you know, all over the world there are issues. It's going to be increasing. But if you cannot bear, if we cannot bear a small discomfort, how are we going to be last? How are we going to last in tribulation? How? How? I'm not saying go out and look for trouble. And I'm not saying go out and look for trial. But I'm saying that if we have trials like we have now, and look, I don't know, different people have varying degrees of trials. But if we cave in under these trials are small compared to the tribulation that is coming. If we cave in under these trials, what's going to happen when the tribulation comes? Some of us will say, Father, please take me before serious tribulation comes. But it's already here. Maybe it has not moved close to your doormat, as you say, but it's there, it's here. Up north, they are killing people in churches. Why do you think they are killing people? It's persecution. Oh, Boko Haram is just, it's part of it. It's persecution. Why do you think they are running down villages? It's persecution. Why do you think they are killing priests? Even here in Nigeria, it's persecution. So, they say, deny Christ and live. And then, of course, you say, Ibori. No. Father, I think I will take it back. No. So, how is it that Proverbs says that if you fail in the day of adversity, says if you fail in the day of, you know, those things, is quite interesting how we try to gloss over things in scripture. There is a day of adversity. That's what he's saying.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,